Welcome to the anointed teaching and preaching at Arena of Life Church and Ty Jones Ministry. We believe that you'll be blessed by this message you're about to hear.
Amen. Thank you, worship team. I'm excited to finish up. I'm going to try to finish up supernatural things here. You know, when I first started this message here, I felt like a mosquito that landed on a fat guy. I literally, you know the saying, right? It's like, I know what to do, I just don't know where to start. I got all these options. And so I believe by the Spirit of God, He gave me a word for you today. It's very simple. And I believe this, I believe God wants us to live in a supernatural life. And from the very beginning, and the whole reason behind this is just kind of us getting together. I went to Lucas and said, hey, I have this supernatural thing brewing inside of my spirit. And he said, hey, we can go behind the things of Stranger Things. And so this is where all this, and you know, we live in a time and a day where people are attracted to the supernatural. You look on Netflix, you see there's movies that people are, they're connected to those things. But I believe this, and I said this from the beginning, is I believe us as believers, God wants us to be not only practical, but he wants us to be powerful as well. He wants us to be natural, but also supernatural. I mean, I don't think you should be so supernatural that you don't know how to balance a checkbook and be good with your life. But also, too, you don't need to just know how to balance a checkbook and be a good parent and not know a move of God when it happens in your life. We need to have those things in our life. I believe God wants us to be practical. I believe he also wants us to be powerful. And I believe this morning we've already declared it, but there is resurrection power inside of your life. When you became a believer, there is resurrection power in you. And you know, when you talk about supernatural things or the Holy Spirit, there's lots of times in you, you already freak out like, oh boy, where's he going with this? And but I want to tell you, it's not mystical. It's not weird, and it's not spooky. I want to tell you, people have made it weird, and people have made it spooky. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit can be a guide in your life that you need. Amen? You got to allow him to. The very first week we talked about was this. It's a lot more spiritual than you think it is. How many of y'all believe that? It's a lot more spiritual than you think it is. When you watch the headlines of the news, and also things that are happening across America, even the world, I want you to remember, it's a whole lot more spiritual than you think it is. We are a spirit. We have a body. We live in a body, and we have a soul, which our mind, our will, and our emotions. We have that mind. But I want to tell you, rather than feeding our mind and feeding our body, if you begin to feed your spirit, I'm not saying anything against being a meathead and going to the gym, all right? There may be a time in my life where I do that, just not right now. But I want to tell you, the most important thing you can do in your life is feed your spirit. You need to feed your spirit the Word of God. You need to feed your spirit through prayer. You need to feed your spirit by getting around people that have faith that will build you up. And then in week number two, we talked about who the Holy Spirit is. And we looked at Galatians chapter 5, and we saw this, that hell has a culture and heaven has a culture. And we can either live in a life where we pull hell up into our situation, or we can invite heaven down. How many of y'all want to live in a situation where we invite heaven down? Where we don't, where we saw the heavens culture is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. All right? If we're going to see supernatural things in our life, we're going to invite heaven down and not pull hell up in our situation. Amen? Whether it's parenting or something that happens at work, don't pull hell up. Hell's all around you. Let's invite heaven into that situation. All right? And then last week, we talked about the power of the Holy Ghost. The power. The Bible says this in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. Everybody say me. I shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. I didn't share this last week, but I will share this with you. Kids that were raised in our youth group, Caleb, you'll probably remember this, but I preached on the Holy Spirit at one time, and I talked about, this was great revelation to me, in John chapter 7, the Bible says, Jesus says this, up from your inmost being will flow rivers of living water. How many of y'all want living water coming out of you? Rivers of living water. And then it says in Isaiah 58, it says in that text, Isaiah 58, 11, it says this, the Lord will guide you always, that's the Holy Spirit. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden. Listen, like a spring whose water never fails. We know this about the Holy Spirit. It's a water that never fails. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And the only place where there is living water and the only place where there's a garden is found in Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 2, he explains four different rivers there. I preached on this on a Wednesday night a couple years ago, on the four rivers that flow. And I talked about the Gihon, the Pishon, the Euphrates, and the, what's the fourth one? The Tigris River. All right, I'm making sure y'all pay attention. Actually, I forgot, but hallelujah. But the Pishon, it talks about rivers of refreshing and edification. The Spirit of God wants to refresh you and edify you. When you study the Gihon, it's rivers of revelation. I don't know about you, but every time I read the Word of God, I want something new to come out and slap me between the eyes to give me a due word in due season. When he talked about the Tigris, it talks about power. There's that word. You shall receive power. It actually, breaking it down in the Greek, it talks about it being a dunamis power. A dunamis power. I believe not just the pastor wants the power. I believe the people sitting right there inside the pews need the power of God as well. Amen? Like I told you, I'm throwing you the keys to the Mustang supercharger with a little bit of NOS. Come on, somebody. That's let's get after it. Let's go. You have to listen to that message in the second part. I talked about driving that car, and I did go the speed limit, if the speed limit's 140. Come on, somebody. But I'm throwing you the keys. I'm throwing you the keys. God wants you to have power. Last week, I talked about the three baptisms that all of us should have. It talks about it in the Old Testament all the way back to 1 John, but it talks about we should be baptized in the blood. How many of y'all thankful for Jesus in your life that he died on the cross, gave you resurrection power? That's the baptism of us being saved, of salvation. Then I talked about the baptism of water. All of us should have that, the baptism of water. And the third one is the baptism of the Spirit. I explained it really, really well last week. I want to encourage you to listen to that week number three. But today, I don't think you can talk about supernatural things and not talk about prayer. Amen? I want to talk about prayer this morning. And I believe this, it's one of the simplest ways we can bring the supernatural into our lives. I believe it's a door that opens the supernatural to happen in us. Jesus said this is how you ought to pray in Matthew chapter, Matthew 6. Yes, I have the verse here. Matthew chapter 6, I almost said 7, but y'all forgive me. I'm not perfect, just a little bit. The model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. It says, our Father in heaven, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Can I just go ahead and give you a little bit of a nugget this morning? Before you call up, the Bible says this, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be, whatever situation you are in, before you do anything, I'm going to tell you, you need to get the name of God on the inside of you. Because the Bible says every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm going to tell you, there's something to powerful about the name Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. There's something powerful about the name Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace for us. There's something powerful about Jehovah Nisi, the God of victory for us. There's something powerful about Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. There's something powerful about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the author, and the finisher of our faith. Pastor, how do you know all those names? Because he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You won't get excited. I will. I'm going to preach the excited ones over here. How many of y'all thankful for the name of Jesus? Amen. We need to have the name of Jesus on the inside of us. When accidents happen, when you have kids, and they will happen, who do you need to call upon? Not Ghostbusters. You need to call Jesus. When some supernatural funky things are happening in your life, I want to tell you, who do you call upon? The name of the Lord. What did Peter do when he was sinking in the ocean because he saw the waves crashing up against his heels? He called upon Jesus and Jesus saved him. I'm going to tell you something. There is something powerful about the name of Jesus. That's why he says, this is the model prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Maybe I can get through the rest of this. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our... Lord, help them. Wow. I got the spirit of Jurassic Park on me with this microphone. Man. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to tell you, I'm going to talk about several things of what makes us, what helps us in prayer. And there may be times where you don't know what to pray. Just pray that. Because it's better to pray something and not pray anything at all. If you want to have the supernatural in your life, you need to have prayer in you. I was thinking about this, what prayer is. And I was, you know, the old school thing. Some of you still go to the bank. Some of you take pictures of your checks. Some of you, it's all electronic, and you never go there. But those of you that know what I'm talking about, where you write the deposit down, and you put it in the tube, and it goes, shoop. I'm telling you, that's how prayer is. And how many of y'all believe when he hears your cry and he hears your voice, he sends something back better than you sent it to it? Amen? That's what prayer is. I believe this. Charles Spurgeon said this, and I love this quote, prayer moves the arm that moves the world. I believe it's foundational. It's spiritual discipline. It's a discipline. We seek God in prayer. We need that discipline in our life. I talked about this. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those four gospels were preached, and these were disciples that wrote about their time with Christ. And what happened in those books was Jesus was doing supernatural things. And in Acts chapter 1, he gives us the Holy Spirit to now do supernatural things. And it's now those guys doing the things that Jesus only did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But God is telling us this. If we want the supernatural in us, we're going to have to live disciplined lives. And if you're going to live a disciplined life, you need a prayer. You need prayer in your life. You need it in you. Prayer doesn't change you. The presence of God changes you. But prayer will get you in the presence of God. Amen? Prayer is where the action is. John Wesley said that. Prayer is where the action is. Think about something in your life that you need changed. Whether it's your job, whether it's employees you work with. Can I get an amen, somebody? Whether it's your kids, your son or your daughter, whether it's your health, whatever it is, finances. I want you to think, have you really sought God? People come in for counseling all the time with me, and one of the first things I ask them, are you a giver and are you a tither? You don't want to be living under a curse and thinking blessings are coming your way. Number two is this, how are you praying? How are you praying? Have you really sought the Lord? So I want to give you eight things. I wrote down eight things. I could have wrote down 10. I tried to make it 5. I even tried to make it 3 because that's, you know, completion, but I went with 8, so bear with me. 8 of them. I should have you out of here by 1 o'clock. Praise the Lord. Number one, just kidding. Number one, you need to be intentional to pray. Intentional to pray. You're talking to God. And all of these, they're not in order, but today I pray that even if you get a hold of one of them, I've done my job. Because it's better to pray and not pray at all. You got to be intentional. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. How many of y'all believe through prayer we're having a conversation with Jesus? It's on purpose with purpose. When you're driving to work, talk to God. There's lots of times I have the radio on, but most of the time I have the radio off. And I build myself up. There's sometimes I'm driving in I-40, crazy people. Amarillo has lost their mind, traffic. And I begin to pray. And as I pray, I'm running people off the road. Glory to God. And I'm ready to charge hell with the squirt gun. Come on, somebody. I'm excited about it. Driving to work, whatever it is. I'm going to tell you, be intentional and turn the radio off. There's garbage on there anyway. Right? I mean, I do listen to it. I stay in tune with what's going on, but turn it off and talk to God. Some of y'all need to turn it on to God. Amen? Number two is this, with faith. Now, I could stay here for 45 minutes because I believe this. I said this to all the men when we had 100 men here for the men's night. Give me 100 men with just a little bit of faith and we'll turn Amarillo, Texas upside down. You need to get around some people with faith that build you up. It's amazing to me. I talk to people that have been serving God for 20 years. People are going to church with people that have been serving God for their whole life, and they have no faith. Zero. Can God heal your body? Well, you know. I'm going to be honest with you right now. When I have something going on in my life, I'm not just going to put it on Facebook and let the whole world know, because I want people in my box and in my corner that's going to pray with faith. I'm not going to have them say things or speak curses over my life that kidney problem's just getting worse. I'm going to say he's the healed of the Lord. I want people around me that have faith. I walk by faith and not by sight. Am I helping y'all this morning? I'm a little wound up. Too many cups of coffee. Come on. Let me tell you something. God can handle your doubts. He can handle your fears. He can handle your worries. But you're not complaining, you're praying. Come on. You're not complaining, you're praying. And when you pray, you're not talking to your mom or your dad. You're talking to the Most High. You're talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're talking to the creator of the universe. I love Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. If you go there within in your Bibles, this is talking about a father of the faith, or the father of the faith from the very beginning. But it's Paul gives his text on this in Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, in hope against hope, Abraham believed that he would become a father of many nations. I love that. This is the Amplified. In hope against hope. In hope against hope, Abraham believed that he would become a father of many nations. How many of y'all know he didn't have no children, but he still believed that God would give him children. As he had been promised by God, so numberless shall your descendants be. Even though he had no kids, God said, in hope against hope, you'll have kids, and they'll be so numberless that your descendants will be. Verse 19, without becoming weak in faith, he considered his own body now as good as dead for producing children, since he was about 100 years old, and he considered the deadness of Sarah's womb. I can't even imagine having kids at 100 years old. I'm already believing God for the day they all move out. Amen? How many of y'all know it takes faith just to believe God in science? Viagra was not even around at this time. This is faith, y'all. I'm trying to build your faith. Don't look at me all spiritual right now. You know what I'm thinking. Come on. But he did not doubt or waver in unbelief concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and empowered by faith. How many of y'all know faith will do something in you? Even though you're looking at an impossible situation, faith will rise up on the inside of you and say, you know what, giant, you may be big, but you ain't as big as my Savior, Lord Jesus. How many of y'all believe that this morning? It says, being fully convinced that God had the power to do what he had promised. How many of y'all believe this morning, whatever you're believing for, there's a promise at the end of it. Amen. Abraham didn't have children, but God gave him more children than he knew what to do with. And whatever situation you're believing God for, as you begin to pray, you'll see supernatural things happen if you just begin to pray with faith. Here's the third thing. Pray sincerely. Pray sincerely. You know, it's amazing to me. People always ask me to pray, whether it's at a family function, you know, ask the preacher. And I think there's times where they think that I'm going to go into this old English text. Oh, most precious heavenly Father. Whoa, there it went. I get into this King James language. I just want to tell you, be sincere, don't be fake, and don't be false. Be sincere. You know, it's an example to people all around that all the time, you know, in our meetings, I've asked several people to pray. And I love it that they just pray like they're talking to God. That's what you're doing. You're talking to God. I tell this story to encourage people to pray all the time. And when I was a sophomore or I think a junior in high school, but there was this boy that came to our school and he was lost as a ball in high weeds. And I went to a Christian high school. And I mean, this boy was pretty rough. And it was during the football year there. And we were in a huddle and he had just given his life to the Lord. And the coach looked at him and said, Jimmy, I want you to pray for before our game. And Jimmy said, well, I don't know how to pray. He said, just talk to God. He said, okay. So he said, God, he looks up around. He's like, oh, God, I don't know what to say. But Lord, be with us. I pray that nobody gets hurt. And God, I just pray. He didn't say that. He just said, Lord, I pray we go out there and kick there. And he said it. I mean, old King James donkey version and said it right there. And we're all in the huddle. We're like, that'll work. That'll work. You know, we didn't chastise him whatsoever because that's all he knew. He hadn't learned how to pray yet, but I was thankful that he did pray and not pray. There's some of you in here, you may think, you know what, I don't pray like Pastor Travis, or I don't pray like Pastor Robert. No, are you praying is the question. Are you praying? Don't live in this world of Facebook where we compete with everybody, even in the spiritual things. Be sincere. Pray. Am I helping you this morning? Number four, I struggled with this one, but some of y'all need to hear this. Pray simple. It's not complicated. And what we do sometimes, I believe this, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. But pray simple. The Bible says in Numbers 12:13, so Moses cried out to the Lord. He said this, please, God, heal her. And she was healed. You believe God heard his voice? God heal her? 1 Kings 17:21-22. Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. How many of y'all know Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Sometimes I hear people pray, they say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they were doing. When they wrote that on Facebook, for they are so stupid and ignorant, and they have no absolute clue what they're talking about. Also, forgive them, Lord, for all. No. Even though you want to write that back to them, how many of y'all know he doesn't say all those different things? There will be times of intercession, but I want to tell you this morning, and I highlighted this, there is no correlation between hours and minutes and whether or not God hears you. You say, I can't pray for 30 minutes, so I just won't pray. No, it's better to pray. Amen? It's better to pray. Number five, passionate. Now, this one's easy for me because I'm a passionate guy. I don't just watch the Cowboys. I throw remotes and scream at the television. You got to put your emotion into it. You know, there's some of you who say, Lord, you know what to do. Lord, you do know what to do. And you know what? There's a time, like I said, there's a simple time. But how many of y'all know when something really has got on you, there's something about saying, God, my son needs you now, God. Intervene right now, Lord. We need you to make a way when there seems to be no way. God, I need you in this situation at work. I need you right now in my family. I need you right now in the United States of America. How many of y'all know we need to be passionate about the God we serve? We need to be passionate. We need to be passionate. We need to put some emotion into it. My question to you is this, that there is a time, how desperate are you? Get undignified sometimes. I was so excited and happy to see Kanye West on NBC singing about his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? You know what? It's crazy how the church has got up and begin to judge him. But I'm telling you, the church has been silent for so long. Thank God for Kanye West for being bold in his walk with Christ. Amen? Amen. God is my number one with the lemonade. Come on. All right? James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Mark 12:30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. Give it your whole strength. Number 6 is this, with the Spirit. I didn't get into details of this last week, but you need to know this, and there might be a time where I preach on this, but there's two different gifts of tongues. There's public interpretation, and there's private for every believer. And I want to tell you, Jude 20 says that it edifies you and it builds you up. I'm telling you, when I'm just like last night, when I was praying in the Spirit in the shower, I believe somebody got set free today because I was praying in the Spirit of God. And I heard the voice of God to speak into your life. There's times where I don't know what to pray. The Bible says this. When a man prays in the Spirit or in an unknown tongue, the Bible says he speaks mysteries. How many times we don't know what to pray? We say, you know what? God, I pray your will. Rather than even saying that, when you don't know what the will of God is, when you begin to pray in the Spirit, Jesus is making intercession with the Father, and he knows exactly what the will of God is for your life. We need to pray with the Spirit. The Bible says in Romans 8:26, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Maybe you're here last week and you still have questions. Come see one of us. We'll get you a book in your hand. But I'm going to tell you right now, you need to go. In your life, there's three baptisms that are there for a purpose. I encourage you to do all three. Amen? Because when you begin to pray in the Spirit, you can feel where the power ends and his begins. Amen? Number 7, pray with others. When we have corporate prayer, which I believe God showed me some things, 21 days of prayer, as we do that at the first of the year, I'm going to open this church house up early in the morning for 21 days of prayer. I'll be here. But I believe it's important. We need to go into a season where prayer is a priority. My responsibility is to help. I believe my responsibility is to help you get more comfortable with prayer. It's all over Scripture. Matthew 18 says this. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them, by my Father in heaven. Acts chapter 4 and verse 24 says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Together. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You know what? There's times in prayer, don't shut down. Don't start thinking about other things. And I want to tell you, it's very easy to do that. That's why I don't read. The Word of God from my cell phone. I read it from this right here. Because I have too many ESPN notifications that come over the top of it. Or Fox News or whatever it is. I need to spend time with God. Amen? But I want to do an exercise this morning to help us out. Because I was discouraged one time. We were praying for camp meeting and God would do a work. And all of us as pastors and elders, we were meeting back here. And I come from a very Pentecostal background. Have you guys noticed that? Yeah. I'm sweating underneath here. I'm about to slick back my hair. Just kidding. But, I mean, my parents, when they would pray, buddy, my mom's left-handed, I could just, Lord, have mercy. Every morning, I could hear. But we would have prayer back here, and the first time I came, I'm leading in prayer, and I realized I was, other than a few other people in there, I was the only one praying. You know, when you get together and pray, you should pray. Amen? When you get together and pray, it's not a watch and look at other people. It's to get together and pray. Talk to God. Even if it's the same thing over and over, maybe it's one scripture that you read to God and said, God, this is what you have promised me. Amen? But listen, I want to do an exercise with you this morning. I want you, when on the count of three, I'm going to say one, two, three, go. I want you to say your name, your address, and your zip code. All right? Now, if you feel better that people around you are listening to what you have to say, make it up. Brad Janelle, Buffalo Springs, Bushland, Texas, 79015. Just kidding. I made that part up. Or OU812 if you feel better. All right? Whatever it is. All right? All right. So on the count of three, you're going to say your name. I may hear some Buffalo Springs out there or Mockingbird Lane. It's okay. This is all an exercise, all right? This is together. I believe God sent me here today as your pastor to show you how it ought to be done when we pray, okay? Travis Bennett, 8827, South Washington, Amarillo, Texas, 79118. All right? That's what you're going to do. Not mine, yours. Or if you feel better, say mine. That was the church, all right? 8827 South Washington, all right? And then we're going to have an exercise where you yell out your Social Security number. And just kidding. Get it on tape. No, just kidding. All right? Y'all ready? All right. You think we can do this together? All right. Is everybody geared up? Everybody understands your name, your made-up address if you want, Amarillo, Texas, OU812. All right? You ready? One, two, three, go. Amarillo, Texas, 79118. That's what prayer ought to sound like, people. Come on. How many of y'all believe that's what prayer ought to sound like? You know what? We can't just read the headlines anymore. We can't just look at things of shootings in El Paso, Texas, or shooting inside of a church. We as the body of Christ need to get on our knees and pray for the supernatural to happen in the United States of America. And we need to pray. If we have people that we have Muslims on the other side of town that are shutting down their shops to pray, how many of y'all believe the one that is actually alive, Jesus Christ, and sitting at the right hand of the Father, he's the one that should be lifted high the most? And we need to look past what we've thought in the past and where our upbringing is, and we need to be a people that prays. He says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from them heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Be humble. Let's pray. Do you think? You think the USA needs healing right now? This is our country. Our future is at stake. But in verse 15, it says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. My eyes will be open and attentive. How many of y'all believe it's dependent on the believer? It's dependent on you and me. Here's the eighth one. Here's Ocho. Consistent. You need a daily time with God, people. Have a daily time with God. We need to turn some stuff off. And you know what? Even if it's 5 minutes and you say, Pastor, that's so long, then go 60 seconds. What I'm telling you this morning is this: it's better to pray than not to pray. And if you want to feel convicted today, go to your phone. I don't know how it is on Samsung. I'm an Apple guy myself. You know, Apple is in the Bible. I just follow the teachings of the Word. In the settings, go to screen time. Go to screen time. And look at how much screen time your face is embedded in that thing that ain't making you no better in life. Amen. And I would venture to say there's some of you out there, you got 5-6 hours of Facebook a week. What could you be doing with 5 or 6 hours talking to the Lord? Amen. We got to try it. And I want to tell you this morning, I want to encourage you, if you're going to see supernatural things in your life, you're going to have to learn how to pray. You know what? How would you pray if you were a loved one that your son or your daughter was at a place of an active shooter? And you know they were in the halls. You were watching. Can you imagine being the parent of those that were watching Columbine High School all those years ago? How would you pray? I promise you this. You'd pray passionate. You would pray sincerely. You would pray with faith. And I want to tell you right now, you may not see it, but the headlines of America and even the headlines of Amarillo, Texas, we live in a time right now where we need to be a people that prays if we're going to see the supernatural happen in our lives. Amen? How many of y'all believe that this morning? If you believe it, stand to your feet. If you're in here and you say, Pastor, you know what? I want supernatural things to happen in my life. I need supernatural in me. If you're in here and you say, you know what, Pastor, I haven't prayed and I'm not living a life of prayer because I don't know Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. If you're in here, the Bible says this, Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that he died on the cross and on the third day he rose again. I believe this, that supernatural things can happen in your life as they happen in mine. I believe supernatural things will happen inside of your finances. Supernatural things will happen inside of your family. Supernatural things will happen in healing in your body. But the first things first, we got to make him the Lord and the Savior of our life. You may be in here and you say, you know what, Pastor? I'm not serving God. I'm at a place where I'm far from the Lord. I'm at a place where I'm still caught up in the old things of life. In fact, I'm here this morning, and even in praise and worship, there was something that was tugging inside of my heart that I am lost, that I need hope, that I need a Savior inside of me. You know what? I came this morning because I need victory in my life. I came this morning because I'm at a place where I have nowhere else to turn. I have nowhere else to go. I want to tell you, you came to the right spot this morning. Because if you feel lost inside of your life, I promise you, through the Word of God, Jesus will help you be found. How many of y'all believe that this morning? The Bible says when we are weak, amen, he makes us strong. When we are poor, he makes us rich. We can't live without Jesus. I encourage you not to live without Jesus. And if you're in here and you say, you know what? I've walked away from the Lord. I've done things on my own. I can look back on my life in the history books of a time where I was seeking him. My marriage was stronger. My relationships were stronger. My kids' lives were stronger. But you know what? I walked away. I got sucked in the vortex of life and all the headlines. But today I want to get things right. I want to help you get things right with God. The Bible says, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want to tell you this morning, if you just call on him, you may be sinking out in the middle of the lake or in the ocean. I want to tell you what Jesus does. He throws you a raft and says, my body died for you. You may be in here and said, nobody cares about me. I'm going to tell you right now, God cares about you. I can tell you with all confidence that God cares about you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to see you prosper, live in health, and in good things. We have testimonies all over this room of people that he ripped you. He pulled you out of the miry clay, and he set you on a rock to stand. And what he did was, is he sent his only son to die on a cross and said, you know what? The world says your life is turmoil, your life is death, but I'm sending my son to die on the cross to pay the payment of death, and now you can live and walk in a life of victory and supernatural in yours. So if you're in here and you say, Pastor, that's me. I've walked away from the Lord, but maybe you're in here and you want to make things right. Maybe you're in here and you say, you know what? I've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to tell you, you pray this prayer with me this morning, you just buckle up because God will begin to do a miracle in you. You thought, no way I could ever get out of this.
God will do something huge inside of your life. God's passionate about you. God's passionate about the loss. If that's you this morning, that explains you. Bow your head with me. Lift your one hand in the air. Everybody in this room, y'all pray this prayer. If you've already prayed this prayer, pray it again. Pray it with us. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross, and on the third day, you rose again. Come live in my heart, Jesus. I believe in you. I need you. Save me. Forgive me of my sin. I invite you into my life. Come live in my heart. Make me new. From this day forward, I'll follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. For more information about this ministry, please look us up at www.arenaoflifechurch.org or contact the church office at 806-622-8000.